If you would turn in your New Testaments to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'd like to read a verse there, and then we're going to move to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And I want to make a couple of points using these passages by means of offering an invitation this evening. In Ephesians, the second chapter, we see Paul here talking to the Ephesian brethren about their salvation. And in verse 8, he tells them that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so, the way that we have been saved is by God's grace, by the gift that God has given to us, that free gift. And of course, we know that gift that He has given us is His Son and His Son's sacrifice and shed blood on the cross for the remission of our sins. If you would now turn to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and we see the account of Isaiah the prophet prophesying of what would happen to Christ, what would happen to this Savior of ours when He came to this earth and then was offered up on that cross as a sacrifice. And I'd like to read that chapter real quickly and then make a few points about that. Beginning in verse 1 of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we're told, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." And so we see there in the account the many sufferings that Christ went through for us. And the reason that that happened, the reason that he did that, was because of the love that he showed for us. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. We see that Jesus went through that because of the love that he's had for us. If you ask many people in the world today, "Do you love Jesus?" They'll tell you, "Sure, yes, we do. Jesus is love. We love him. And we love him for the many things that he did for us." And that's certainly something that is proper, that love that we should have for Christ, because of the love that he had for us and the love that caused him to give his life for us for the remission of our sins. But the next part of that many in the world don't realize is that love that we have for Christ, all this that we just read that he suffered for us, then at the least we should be able and be willing to not only love Christ, but to show our love to him through our obedience to him. In John the 14th chapter and in verse 15, the Lord tells us that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we see that that's the part that many people in this world did not get. They say that they love Christ. They have those proclamations of adoration for him, but then in the lives they live, there is absolutely no love shown for him. And we need to make sure that as Christians, we are not that way. The love that we have for Christ should be shown in our obedience to him. And so with that said, I want to offer an invitation to those who are here this evening. There may be some in the audience who have proclaimed to love God, to love Christ. Perhaps you are aware that Christ is the Son of God, that He gave His life on that cross, shed His blood for the remission of our sins. And because of your knowledge of that, you have said that you loved Him, but you've not shown that love in your obedience to Him. And if there are those in the audience that fit that description tonight, we offer the opportunity for you to come forward and to show your obedience, to confess Christ as the Son of God, to repent of your sins, and then to put Him on in baptism. Be buried with Him in baptism, and then rise to walk in newness of life. There may be those who have done that, but have recently fallen away and have not been showing that love through obedience recently. And if you want to come forward and make that right, and ask for the prayers of the congregation, the opportunity is available for you as well. If we can help you spiritually in any way, we ask that you would come forward as we now stand and sing the song of invitation.